Welcome to Susitna Writer's Voice, area writers reading their work.
Greetings, welcome to Stardate Susitna. I'm Kathleen Fleming. Here at latitude 62 degrees north, we have less than 1 week left with true darkness, something I have deeply divided feelings about. In this program, we'll talk about twilight, Jupiter, the moon, and what to expect during a total solar eclipse. Let's start with the moon. La Luna will be full Monday night officially at 10:08 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time. If your calendar says full moon is on Tuesday, well, it is for the East Coast in the small hours of Tuesday morning. The entire near side of La Luna is illuminated Monday night when she is on the opposite side of the Earth from the Sun. No lunar eclipse this time because the moon is above, north of Earth's shadow. The full moon is opposite the sun, and therefore La Luna will rise Monday evening when the sun sets. And then Tuesday morning, she sets just as the sun is rising. And now that we are on the summer side of the spring equinox, sunrise and set occur just north of due east and west, so therefore the full moon will rise and set just south of due east and west. The general themes of this annual dance are easy to understand. The finer points are a little tricky, unless you use a fancy app or sophisticated website. Anyway, since solar noon is now 2 p.m. along the most populated longitude in Alaska, solar midnight is 2 a.m., and the full moon is always highest above due south at solar midnight, during the accursed daylight saving time, 2 a.m. After Monday night, La Luna will diminish as a waning gibbous and slide further into the morning sky. Morning, midday, afternoon, evening, night. Some of those periods of day are easy to define, others not so much. When does afternoon turn into evening, and evening turn to night, when there is little or no darkness? The KTNA evening news is consistently at 6 p.m., regardless of whether the sun set 2 hours earlier or won't set for another 5 hours. And when 6 p.m. clock time is in reality 4 p.m. solar time, I have a hard time thinking of evening news occurring in the evening. So, clearly, some periods of the day have more to do with the clock than with the position of the sun. But night? Can it be night when the sun is still up? How about when the sky is full of bright twilight? Well, you'll have to decide that for yourself. Let's talk about twilight. This will be review for regular Stardate Susitna listeners. There are three phases of evening twilight, repeated in reverse order before sunrise. The further from the equator you go, the longer each phase of twilight lasts due to the decreasing angle of the sun's approach to the horizon. In Alaska, the sun's path toward the western horizon is fairly sharp, but in Hawaii, it's nearly straight down. Dramatic difference in how long it takes for the sun to sink further and further below the horizon. And the lower it is, the less light it casts up into the scattering sky. To be more specific, at midweek, the sun will set, for Talkeetna, below the hypothetically flat horizon at 9:20. It takes 50 minutes for El Sol to angle down to 6 degrees, measured perpendicular to the horizon. This period is called civil twilight, where there is still so much light in the sky you won't need a headlamp to walk around the trails. Then nautical twilight is when the sun is between 6 and 12 degrees below the horizon. At midweek, nautical twilight lasts a little over an hour, from 10:10 to 11:19. The brighter stars are all out during nautical twilight, but then that fades to astronomical twilight, while the sun is down 12 to 18 degrees. On April 12th, that spans 11:19 to 1:03 a.m., nearly 2 hours. Then there is technically and actually no residual scattered light in the sky, and it would be truly dark if there were no big bright moon. But at this latitude and at this time in April, darkness only lasts about an hour and 40 minutes. Then astronomical twilight is back, followed by nautical, then civil, then sunrise. To put it another way, at midweek, the sun will be down for 9 hours and 20 minutes. Of that, less than 2 hours will be dark, and the rest is twilight. And you know we've been losing night quite rapidly, so that by the end of this week, it's all twilight. No true darkness at all until the end of August. A brief comparison to Hawaii, then we'll go on to other topics. Of the 11 and a half hours with the sun down at midweek in Hawaii, there's a mere 1 hour and 15 minutes of evening and again of morning twilight. 2.5 hours total of twilight leaves 9 hours of the night dark, except for the moon, brilliant, sparkling on the gentle ocean, touched by warm breezes. Well, despite the reduction of our night sky darkness and the lovely but limiting bright moon, there is one celestial object worthy of your attention. That's Jupiter. The gas giant is currently at its brightest for the year because it is at its closest point to Earth for this year. Opposition of Jupiter was actually last Friday, when the outer planet is on the direct opposite side of the Earth from the Sun. If you imagine the orbits, you'll understand why oppositions are the closest point for outer planets. And if you've been observing Jupiter all winter as instructed, you've noticed how far west of Spica his retrograde dance has taken him. At opposition, Jupiter is halfway finished with his backwards trek, and during the perpetual light of our far north summer, Jupe will do an about-face and return to a position directly above Spica, and then he'll keep on heading east against a background of stars, the normal or direct motion of all planets. At this time of opposition, even binoculars will reveal at least some of Jupiter's four bright moons, called the Galilean moons, because Galileo was the first human to see them about 400 years ago with the recently invented telescope. Saturday night, there were three on one side of Jupiter and one on the other. They're always in a fairly straight line. The moon that appeared closest to the planet was Europa Saturday night, noticeable through my telescope, but when I looked through binos, Europa disappeared in the glare of Jupiter. Well, Sunday night, the pattern will be very similar, but Europa and Io will have traded places. They are the inner two with the smaller, faster orbits, with Io being the fastest, changing positions noticeably over the course of one night. Anyway, this is the best time to take a closer look at Jupiter, even if the sky is not completely dark, because he and his moons are now closest to Earth. You'll see Jupiter in the southeast during nightfall and in the southwest before dawn. Naturally, with Jupiter being at opposition, and the full moon is by definition at opposition, La Luna and Granddaddy Jupiter will appear near each other Sunday night, Monday morning, and Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. They're actually closest at midday Monday in Alaska, ideal timing for observers on the opposite side of the globe. This is the last stardate Susitna during the months with darkness, but I'm likely to do another for midsummer and then a final pre-eclipse show. Man, oh man, word is definitely out about the August 21st total solar eclipse. While there's still time, maybe, for you to make plans to be in the path of totality, I thought I'd mention a few things a person in the path with clear skies can expect to see and experience. The four events with known times are: first contact, when the dark disk of the moon first touches the sun. Very exciting. You know it's real when the first little nibble happens. Then it's about an hour and a half with the moon gliding further and further over the sun. A unique thick crescent thinning and thinning and thinning to second contact, when totality begins. This is a super busy and extraordinarily fast few minutes before second contact, looking for shadow bands across a smooth, light-colored surface, the diamond ring just seconds before totality, and Bailey's beads for an instant as the sun's atmosphere becomes visible with your eclipse shades off. You will have already examined the sky chart and know where to look for bright stars and planets there in the middle of the day gone dark. Hopefully someone has set their alarm or a timer to alert the crowd that totality is ending after the fastest 2 minutes of your life. You've got one more crack at photographing the diamond ring at third contact, totality over, then filters on, and the thinnest crescent sun beginning to thicken as the moon continues moving eastward and off of the perfect alignment. another hour and a half or so until the sun regains its fully round shape and the partial phase is over at fourth contact. The exact times are available from the interactive eclipse map online. Maps and websites, as well as a pair of eclipse shades, are in the packets I've made available to purchase at the KTNA office. If you could watch and listen through a super telescope with a super microphone from space, it would be the most impressive sports stadium wave times a million as the shadow of the moon races nearly 2,000 miles an hour across the U.S. Throngs of people will be cheering as second contact at the beginning of totality reaches them. Watching the shadow rapidly approach before second contact and depart after third contact is really special. It's best to be on fairly high ground to see that. Now, how did I get to the end of my show so soon? And I thought it was going to be a short one. Ha! I was going to tell you what I've been learning about communities in the path preparing for this mega astro party and some of my experiences with the 7 solar eclipses I've traveled to see in the past 20 years. Guess all that will have to wait until the next Stardate Susitna, whenever that is. Until then, enjoy the rest of the spring, what's left of the night sky, Jupiter and the largest 4 of his 67 known moons, and brilliant moonlight awash over what's left of the snowy landscape. Season of rapid change for sure. If you're into comets, check out skyandtelescope.com for finder charts of 3 binocular bright comets. Definitely tricky with so little darkness. Hey, it's all cosmic, man. So keep looking up.
You've been listening to Susitna Writer's Voice, a production of Talkeetna Community Radio. You can hear these recordings anytime at ktna.org. New contributors are always welcome. You may call the station at 733-1700 for more information.